have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Psalms 27 tonight. Psalms 27. Glad I've been to Calvary tonight, aren't you? I've been washed in the blood. As old Harold Sightler said, I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I thank God for that, don't you? I could swing out over it on a rotten banana peel. I ain't going to fall in. Because of something I did, God forbid. Something he did. He didn't write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life the day I got saved. Oh, no. He said in Revelations he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That was a done deal long before I ever got here. I was saved a long time before I got saved. Huh? That'll mess you all up tonight. We've got a big one tonight. He's a mighty God tonight. We have been since Sunday morning looking at one of the promises in the Bible. The little promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we've been preaching on a promise worth repeating. It's repeated seven times in the Bible over thousands and thousands of years of Bible history. The first couple of times it was mentioned was in Deuteronomy when Moses was dying. Our Lord told him, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We found it was a promise worth parting with. I tell you, when I get ready to leave this world, I want to know he's with me, don't you? Oh, it'll be nice if your family's there. But I tell you, you can have all your family around the bed and not have him. It'll be rough on you. Huh? But your whole family could be absent and he'd be there and it'll be good. Huh? It's a promise worth parting with. We notice that promise was given again by Joshua at the crossing of the Jordan. We notice that it was a promise worth pondering. Instead of pondering how we're going to get through our Jordans, we're told to quit it. Go to pondering this thought, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We notice that David gave it to Solomon when Solomon was going to build God a house. We found it was a promise worth pursuing. You and I are building God a house tonight. We are the temple of God. I tell you, you better have your pursuits right if you're going to build God a house. It's a promise worth pursuing. Then last evening, we looked at it again. Solomon had finished building the temple. He had gotten up off his knees praying the dedicatory prayer. The Shekinah glory cloud had fallen. And he stood up and proclaimed to the children of Israel that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We found it last evening. It was a promise worth proclaiming. It's worth telling somebody else you got God with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Tonight I want to look at it again as it is mentioned in the Scriptures. If you've got your Bible there, Psalms 27. This psalm is told to us in the title that it is a psalm of David. That is the only indication we get for the authorship of the psalm. Most people believed that it was written during the days when David was running from Saul. And it was right after his encounter with Doeg the Edomite, who killed Abiathar the priest. After he had given David and his men some bread and Goliath's sword. And it was a great time of trouble for David. And many believe it was during that time that he sat down and penned this prayer. Psalms 27 is a prayer. And it is within this prayer that we find this promise mentioned again, I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee. And I'd like to look at it tonight as a promise worth praying, worth praying. if you've got your Bible there, beginning to read at verse number 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Hey, hey, hey! Here it is if you want to underline it. Mention again 7 times over thousands of years of Bible history. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, less than I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is in this psalm that there's an interesting comparison made. Verses 1 through 6, there is a great declaration of faith. But in verses 7 through 12, there is a great dread of fear. Matter of fact, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that most people in his day believed that 2 different people wrote this psalm. He said it would seem impossible for a man to have such faith and such fear at the same time. I don't know about you, but I would testify for myself tonight. I have found that faith and fear can live next door to one another in my soul. I can find myself on a high peak of a roller coaster of faith in God, only in a moment to plummet to the depths of fear. Seems like faith and fear are fighting for the mastery of my soul. It's hard to believe that such trust and such trembling could dwell in one soul. It's hard to believe tonight that one could have such confidence and such cowardness lying in one soul. It's hard to believe that those two would rest together. But if you and I was to take our halos off tonight and set them aside, you and I'd have to admit tonight that it wouldn't take much for us to be under the bed scared to death. It wouldn't take much of a boo to get you down. Huh? As we begin to look at this great psalm and this promise tonight, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Promise worth praying. How in this world tonight can I put fear down, put faith up? Seems like David learned how to do it in this psalm. I notice, first of all, as we unpack the psalm, I see there is a pronouncement of faith. What is it you pronounce when you're praying? Do you pronounce your grocery list? Gimme, 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 gimme. I tell you what, it ain't gonna scare the devil away from you. He's a coming with both feet if that's all your prayers are, is gimme, gimme, gimme. Nah, David has a pronouncement of faith. And notice in verses 1 through 3, there is faith deliberations. In his prayer, he begins to deliberate. He begins to think upon some things about God. And as they come to his mind, he begins to pronounce them into the air. What kind of declarations does he make? He said in verse number 1, the Lord is my light. He is my illumination. I don't know about you, I'll testify for you, but when I'm scared, it seems like the lights have gone out. Seems like it's dark. I don't know which way to turn. What in the world should I ought to do? I tell you what David did. He began to pray, the Lord is my light. What good is that going to do? It's going to light up your situation. Of course, we've been so accustomed to having a little God. Well, Lord God, we've taught it from an early age. We've told them their God's little. Have you ever heard such silliness as this song? This little light of mine. Huh? God's a little light. I've heard tell he's a big light. I love the hound out of this stupidity. Don't let Satan blow out God. Pray tell, how could you blow out God? We start from an early age telling them he's little. You can handle him. Oh, I tell you, no wonder we're scared. Oh, no, he is an illumination tonight. Not only did David say he's my light, but he said he's my salvation. That little word's not talking about salvation from sin, but it is to come into a large place, a place of freedom, a place of liberty. Most of the time when we're having troubles, they'll bind us up. We're not free. But David is deliberating. He's saying he is my freedom. He is my wide expanse. He is my salvation. Matter of fact, he says in our text, he says he is my strength. That little word strength is a fortified place, a place of refuge, a place to hide. Matter of fact, he tells us in verses 2 and 3, he said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. What's David doing? David is proclaiming what he knows to be true about God. What good will it do? It'll put fear down. It'll put faith up. And you'll walk in victory. Huh? I love that little deal about David saying he's being encamped about. He said he's being surrounded. Oh, I tell you, wouldn't it be good tonight for us to know that there's a heavenly host encamped about each one of us? Huh? We've got a heavenly host. The Bible says got us picture framed around. I was thinking about that some time ago. When I studied old John G. Patton's life, he went to the New Hebrides Islands and ministered for 46 years to the cannibals in the South Pacific in the early 1800s. First time he went there to a little island called Antawa. He stayed there 5 years and never had a convert, never had anybody listen to him. And his wife and baby died, and he hand dug their graves and buried them and stayed there for another year. Nobody would listen to him. Nobody would listen to him preach. He never had a convert. And finally, the cannibals scared him so bad that he left the island. Later on, when he went back to that island, God gave a great revival. Several of those cannibals were saved. And he asked them one day, he said, when I was here that first 5 years, said, how come y'all didn't kill me and eat me? They said, oh, Missy. Said, we come every night to eat you. Said, but we scared of them shiny men on top of your hut. Don't pitch me and wake me up.
When I get scared now, I've been telling God, I say, God, showing them shiny men on top of the building. Huh? You say you're crazy. Well, don't wake me up. Let me be crazy then. Huh? I'm just crazy enough to believe if God opened your eyes tonight, you'd see shiny men all around me. You wouldn't want to fool with me if you see shiny men around me. Huh? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, I'm talking about face deliberation tonight. But I see not only face deliberation, I see in verses 4 and 5, he face desire. What's David doing? No, David's praying. He ain't praying that I lay me down and say, I tell you what, you help. On Moose gallbladder and Jim's back. Oh, God forbid. He's praying that mess. Oh, no. He's pronouncing into the air faith deliberations. He is putting into the air faith desires. He said in verse number 4, one thing have I desired. Oh, David was a member of the One Thing Club. He was not a multitasker. He was not getting his little tootsies burnt because he had too many irons in the fire. David said he was only up to one thing. He said, I got one desire, Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Pray tell, David, what in the world you want to do in the house of God? He said, I want to behold his beauty. Isaiah said his beauty was his holiness. David said, I just want to ponder. I want to look at his holiness all the days of my life. No wonder David, when he got ready to die, said this. He said, surely goodness and mercy has been following me all the days of my life. And then he said this. He said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, I'm going to keep doing what I've always been doing, dwelling in the house of God and beholding his beauty. Oh, I love that, don't you? He said in our text, verse number 5, for in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Oh, David is declaring what he knows to be true about God. Pray tell, preacher, what good will it do? That'll put fear down, faith up. Oh, I love that thing about hiding in the cleft of a rock. You know, when I first thought about that cleft of the rock thing, it didn't help me much. I was still scared. Because if he puts you in a cleft of a rock, you got rock there, you got rock there, you got rock back there. But you still got opening here, somebody could get you. And I always worried about that get you right there. Say, you crazy, preacher. I'd be crazy. I just thinking about it. I got rock there, I got rock there, I got rock back there. But somebody, that boogerman, get in right there, that cleft. Don't you remember what he did with Moses? He said he put his hand over the cleft. Whoa, son, you're going to have to lift that hand up to get that in there. Whoa, that's a big old hand you have to lift up. Huh? I guarantee you might get smacked by that hand, you fooled me. Huh? How come? I'm in the cleft of the rock. What in the world's David done? David is declaring his faith tonight, and he's putting down his fear. Faith and fear dwell side by side in my soul. It is fighting for the mastery of my soul. The devil wants to scare you to death tonight if you don't put faith up and fear down. You can't do it tonight sitting around. I think again, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to be scared. Oh, no. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray. This is a promise worth praying tonight. The pronouncement of faith. We see faith deliberation. We see faith desire. But I notice in verse number 6, we see faith delight. David goes to delighting in some things. You know, tonight, when you go to seeing some things through deliberation, you go deliberating on what you know to be true about God, and God begins to show you some things. When you go to wanting some things through your desires, it won't be long before it'll show up in your delights tonight. Here David said, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. David ain't like this no more. Y'all pray for me, I'm really going through. Oh no, he's got his head in the air. He ain't scared of nothing no more. How come? He's moved from fear to faith. He says, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Watch that little phrase, I'll sing praises. Yea, I'll sing praises unto the Lord. As I have studied that little phrase, I have found that it has nothing to do with singing with the mouth. Oh, no. David is not singing. See, you can't sing to the Lord too good with your mouth as you can with your soul. David is a singing in here. I was a loving hand. You know, you'd almost think there's a God in heaven as the way he's orchestrated this service tonight. I was thinking about that song we got so excited about not long ago, How Great Thou Art. That is one of the few songs that teaches the truth. Then sings my mouth. No, it don't say that. Then sings my soul. I was a wonder tonight if you have a soul that sings tonight. Oh, when your soul begins to sing tonight, it'll put fear down and put faith up. I was thinking about that song, How Great Thou Art. I had it in my notes to mention, and since you brought it up, I'm singing it tonight. Fear and faith, how they wrestle for the mastery of my soul. Old Stuart Hines, in the songbook, was the one that translated and wrote much of that song, and it took him 21 years to write it. He wasn't like Gaither and throw one out every night. It just took him 21 years to get it together. Now, each verse represents a story or an experience that Stuart Hines had with God. And every time God would do something, speak to him so clearly, he would begin to give him another verse. But I'm extremely interested in one of those verses and the story that was behind why he wrote that verse. There was a little Russian village in the mountains of Russia. And after the war, there was an American soldier had left an English Bible there in that Russian village. There was a lady that found that English Bible, and she could not read English, neither could she speak English. And old Stuart Hines said that she taught herself how to read English so she could read that English Bible. And old Stuart Hines says when he come through that Russian village, he said she was sitting in the middle of the city square, and she was reading that English Bible to Russian-speaking people that could speak no English. And he said they were falling all around her, getting saved. And while he was watching that going on, God gave him this verse. When I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Oh, I tell you, when you go to getting a hold of stuff like that, it'll put fear down and put faith up. I'm talking about faith, pronouncement. But I notice not only is there the pronouncement of faith in this prayer, but I notice in verses 7 through 12, there's the praying in fear. The praying in fear. Let our fears tonight drive us to God. Huh? Oh, if you're fearful of things tonight, fearful of the unknown, fearful of what's going to happen next, that it drive us to pray. This is a promise worth praying. Let our whole beings be cast upon Him. The psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I'll go to figuring.
No, He don't say that. Don't say that in the Living Bible.
He said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Cast myself helplessly upon Him. Notice, if you would, in our text, praying in fear. I notice in verses 7 and 10, fear must be cried out. Fear must be cried out. Most of us tonight would rather sit around and cry in our situation.
I don't know what the world I'm going to do.
Oh, no. If I'm going to do any crying, when it whelps up in me and the tears start to come, instead of crying about my situations, go to crying towards the Savior. Huh? He ain't going to bottle up that other junk you doing. He'll bottle up that stuff you send towards His way. Huh? What David do? Watch him when he's praying. He said in verse number 7, hear, oh! I didn't know if you'd see that word, and I thought I'd underline it. It is a word of desperation. Oh, David is desperate. He said, hear, oh, cry of desperation. It is a request. Hear my cry. That little word hear means to listen to me carefully, God. Perk your ears up. Let me have your attention, God. He's crying in desperation. He asked for an answer tonight. That little word answer is to turn the eyes. Give me your undivided attention, God. Oh, fear must be cried out tonight. He asked that God would have mercy upon him. Mercy tonight is God withholding from us what we deserve. Oh, David is telling God, God, I deserve to be afraid. I deserve to be scared to death. I ought to be in hell when my back broke, God. But give me mercy. Withhold from me what I deserve. My knees ought to be knocking. I ought to be under the bed trembling. But don't do that for me. He says in verse number 10, he said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Very apparent from this psalm, David took his mom and dad down to Moab, found political asylum for them down there so Saul wouldn't kill them. Of course, more than likely, they's going down there to see kinfolk. You remember David's grandma was Ruth the Moabitess, and Jesse's mama. So they was just probably going down there to check on some people. But there is no evidence that we ever hear anything about David's mom and daddy anymore. But he says, when they forsake me, you know, a mom and daddy tonight is the very basic of help tonight. David said, when the very basics of help is gone, I have run out of help. I ain't got nowhere to turn. He said, then the Lord will take me up. God ain't going to take you up tonight till you've exhausted all your little plans. Huh? Then, if you'll cry to Him, say, Lord, I have exhausted all my hoarded resources and I'm scared to death. Then the Lord will take you up. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Oh, fear must be cried out. But watch the text. Not only must fear be cried out, but fear must be closed in. You got to hem fear up. Hey, don't you let fear out of the barn. Oh, I tell you, if you take fear out and play with it for a few minutes, it'll eat you alive. Huh? I just take it out and think about it for a little bit. It'll be bigger than you think. You got to close it in. David hemmed it up. He closed it in. He wouldn't let it out of the barn. Well, what did he close it in with? I notice in verse number 8, he closed it in with thoughts from the past. Huh? He said in verse number 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He said, in days gone by, Lord, I sought your face and I found your face. goes to hemming in fear with thoughts from the past. Oh, I tell you tonight, when fear sets in, you don't know which way to turn. You don't know whether to turn to the left, don't know whether to turn to the right, don't know whether to go back or go forward. Oh, fear must be closed in. What am I going to close it in with? But it closed in with thoughts from the past. But I noticed that David not only closed it in with thoughts from the past, but he closed it in with thoughts from the present. He said in verse number 9, hide not thy face from me. Oh, God, let me see your face. God, if I can't see nothing else, it's not something I want. It's somebody. I want to see your face, God. I want to see your glory. I want to see your presence. Well, what in the world's he doing, preacher? He's a boxing fear in, so it can't get out. What's he boxing it in with? He boxed it in with some thoughts from the past. God's usually repeats himself. If he done something in the past, he'll do it again. He's a boxing him in with the present. See, David ain't sitting around, I don't know what the word. I don't know. Preacher, help me. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. God forbid. Quit sucking your thumb, whining. We've got a big old God. Go to closing that fear in with thoughts from the past, thoughts from the present. But I notice that he closes fear in with thoughts from the future. He said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Watch this future declaration. Leave me not. Neither forsake me. Oh, my God. He said, Lord, there's never been a time when you loosened your grip on me. There's never been a time when you left me without any help. Will you continue what you've done in the past, what you've been doing in the present? Would you just continue it in the future? Pray tell, what good's that going to do, praying that kind of stuff? Oh, I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll put fear down, and it'll put faith up. Why, you might be able to quit taking your pill to go to bed and your pill to get up, huh? You won't be so jittery, huh? Oh, I'm talking about faith and fear and a promise worth praying. But I see in our text, not only does faith, fear need to be cried out, it needs to be closed in. But I notice in our text that fear must be carried away. You got to get rid of your fears. Well, pray tell, how in the world can I get rid of my fears? Verse number 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I was interested in that little word, teach. It is our little word for a road map. David said, Lord, I need a road map. I need to know exactly how to go. I don't know about you, when I get lost, I get fearful. Huh? If you don't ever get lost and you always know where you're going and you know you're at the right place at the right time, be hard for fear to get you. David said, I need a road map inside of me. Oh, but don't miss this. This is so good, I hate to even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. I was interested in that little word lead there. The little word lead there is the word for a map reader. David said, not only do I need a map inside of me, he said, I need a map reader. What in the world is David wanting? He's wanting an eternal GPS system inside of him. He's wanting one of them things inside of him that'll talk to him. Huh? Turn left at the next corner. You have gone past your turn. Turn around, come back, head east. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had something like that inside of you? Hey, we do if you're saved. You got an eternal GPS system in you. There ain't no reason for any of you to be marrying anybody and wishing you had not married them. Huh? Ain't no sense in any of you getting a degree in anything and realizing that it's not marketable and you should have never gotten a degree in it. If you got the eternal GPS system inside of you, he'll lead you in what? Plain path. Huh? That plain path, there is a one-laner. Oh, this thing's not eeny, meeny, miny, mo. God don't have plan B. All God's got is plan A. And I want to get in on it. Huh? I don't want to start a new plan. I'm talking about fear must be carried away. Can I close with this thought? Not only have we seen the pronouncement of faith, David declares in the air what he knows to be true about God. There's a praying in fear. David begins to pray this promise that God is with him. He's an eternal GPS system. God will tell us which way to go, which way not to go. And now, I want us to see last of all tonight the perception of focus. Oh, so many times the reason why fear rises up and faith goes down is because of our focus, what we're looking at. Moving from fear to real faith is a radical move. And it must have a change in our focus, what we're looking at. Notice, if you would, in our text, the focus of truth. The Bible says in verse number 13, David speaking, he said, I had fainted unless. That little word fainted there, it is a word to become sluggish, to become burnt out. There's many of you sitting here tonight, you're one step from chunking it in. Huh? Some of you have already entertained the thought of leaving your mate. You're fixing to just, man, what's the use? Chunk it in. I've had enough of this. I tell you what's wrong with you. It's your focus, what you're looking at, what you're deliberating on. He said, I had fainted unless. Do not miss that little word, unless. The little word there, if it were not for that. What's the that David's talking about? Verses 1 through 10. David said, had I not put my focus upon God and upon truth and who he was, that he was a light, that he was my strength, that he was my salvation, that he was a cleft in the rock, that he would never leave me nor forsake me, he said, I would have fainted. I'd have give up. I'd have thrown in the towel. Unless. Oh, I'm talking about the focus of truth. But I see in our text, in this perception of focus, not only is there a focus of truth, but there's a focus of trust. He said in our text, in verse 13, I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I was extremely interested in that little word, believe. It means to go to the right-hand side of the throne. I'm going to do it back at you. You should have stopped right there and shouted. If you're going to believe in time of your fear, where am I going to go? I'm going to call up a psychiatrist and see if we can get together. Huh? No. Right side of the throne. Well, who in the world's at the right side of the throne? That's where he said he was sitting. Huh? Huh? He said he was Benjamin, son of my right hand. Oh, I love the hand. That's helping me while I'm a preaching. Huh? I usually go to the left. Huh? Go out in left field somewhere. He said, quit it. Go to the right hand of the throne. The little word believe there, it means to go to the road on the right. And the word also means to be mothered by a doting nurse. to be mothered by a doting nurse. Just in case you can't find the right side of the throne, just in case you can't find the right road, he said he's put a doting nurse inside of you that'll just sort of pull you along and make sure you get where you need to go. Oh, I love that, don't you? I tell you, that's a help for stupid people like me. Huh? I'm talking about a focus of trust. Did you notice what'll happen after you believe? He said, I had believed to see. The little word see there means to behold the right direction. Huh? Hey, this will do away with your dead end streets. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Did you know God ain't never said oops? God ain't never done nothing and said, oh, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Oh no. And I tell you what, if you'll begin to make him your focus, you'll not have no oops either. He'll lead you in a plain path. I didn't know, this is awful deep. I didn't know if you see this or not. Did you see which come first, believing or seeing? I didn't know if you noticed that. You would think God wrote the Bible. Hey, crosses his T's and dots his I's. He put believing first and seeing second. Because there's some of you been in this meeting all week. You say, well, day, preacher, God, show me something. I believe it. You missed it, honey. You got to believe first and then show it to you. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about the focus of trust. He said he believed to see the goodness. That little word goodness is the beauty of his goodness tonight. Oh, Moses asked him, he said, show me thy glory. And he caused his goodness to pass before him. It is a part of his glory tonight. He showed old David his glory. You know what I believe tonight? I believe David is, he's got his wing. He's been afraid. He's been down there in that cave of Adullam and said, I tell you, boys, pray for me. I believe Saul's going to get me. But after he's been a-praying a little while and been deliberating, I believe he's done got them faith wings. And he's taxiing out. He's a-fixing to take flight. Huh? He ain't like some of you and I that's trying to flap our way through life. Oh, no. He's done caught an updraft, and he's a-fixing to fly. How come? Because he's been a-lifting up faith and a-putting down fear. I noticed not only the focus of truth and trust, but last of all, I noticed the focus of time. See, God don't do everything today. God has his own time schedule. David said in verse number 14, wait on the Lord. That little word there is the word for patience. Patience for God to change the circumstances. Be still and know that he is God. It is the hardest part of the Christian life, waiting for God to change circumstances. You know what the greatest thing was to me in raising my boys and waiting upon God to do a work in them was this little thought. They ain't today what they're going to be tomorrow. They might be hellcats today. Oh, Lord, they'll all be preachers tomorrow. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. You got some circumstances you've been wanting God to change? Preacher, what am I going to do? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. Wait. Wait. Patiently wait tonight. I love what old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said about waiting. He said, if one waits at his door of prayer, and he waits at his feet with humility, and he waits at his table with service, he will soon wait at his windows with expectation of a fulfillment of what he's been awaiting on. Old Thomas Kent said this, hail trembles at a heaven-focused eye. I tell you, hell ain't gonna even burp tonight if you got your eyes on your troubles. But if you'll turn your eyes heavenwardly and wait, he said, he that waits upon the Lord, he said, he'll be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Hey, do you remember that Isaiah 40 passage? They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Old preacher been preaching 60 years down in Florida right before he died. I was in his house, and he got out his little recorder every day, and he preached to it. He just preached through the Bible. Won't nobody there listen to him. He's just preaching. The day I stopped by to see him, he was preaching through Isaiah. And he asked me, he said, you ever notice in Isaiah 40 where the whole thing's backwards? I said, no, I never had noticed it being backwards. I didn't know it was backwards. He said, yeah, the whole thing's backwards. He said he's got him flying first, he's got him running second, and he's got him walking last. He said, that's backwards. He said he should have had him walking, they should have had him running, then he should have had him flying. And he looked at me. I was just bumfuddled. I didn't know what he's talking about. He said, it ain't backwards. He said, when you got first saved, you had all that zeal. He said, you thought you could fly. After you grew a little bit, you started running. And he said, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is just walk with God. Day after day after day, through the mundane, through the darkness, through the storm, through the sunshine, just a-waiting on him and a-walking with him. The old songwriter said it like this, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current. Land me safe on Canaan's side. Open now the crystal fountains whence the healing streams doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. I tell you tonight, I don't know how you feel about it, but this promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, seems like to me it'd be a promise worth praying tonight, especially in a fearful situation. How come? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Would you stand with us tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor's coming. He's going to close this prayer meeting service as he sees fit.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, it's when David settled his heart on the word, it's when the word began to swell up in David's heart, things began to change. David's perspective got off the cave. David's perspective got off the circumstances. Lord, when David just went to trusting and obeying you, he found things looked different. Lord, he still spent some time in the cave, but the atmosphere changed. The perspective had changed. David's heart had changed. Oh, Lord, help us to look to you. Help us to look to your word. Oh, God, oh, and Lord, faith lifts us up. We can stand in confidence and face whatever it is before us. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to pray the promise of God's good word this night. this altar's open. I wonder if you need to slip around it somewhere and call on the Lord. You may be in a cave tonight. I'm not going to tell you that you need to be out of the cave. I'm not even going to tell you God's going to get you out of the cave. But I can tell you, the atmosphere of the cave can be changed. Fear can be hemmed up, squeezed up, carried off, cast off on Him. Oh my, you don't have to be fearful tonight of acknowledging fear or doubts. Just cast them on Him. In fact, I was meditating today on John. John is in that prison. Doubts swelled up in John's heart whether or not Jesus was Jesus. He sent word and he said, "Are you a him? Are you him? Or should we look to another?" I'll tell you, John did what he should have done. John just went to the Word. John just looked to the Word. John just got a word from heaven. Oh, my tonight, how about you? How about you? How about you? You may be here tonight and you're not saved. I'll tell you, oh my, how the gospel's been sung tonight. How the Word of God has been proclaimed tonight that there's one that can lift you up. There's one that can deliver you. There's one that can set you free from your fears of life and death and eternity. Some have come to pray. Have you done what the Lord would have you do tonight? Miss Kathy, come play a little softly, if you will. Oh my, tonight, a promise worth praying. A promise worth praying. God's nudged your heart about something. Y'all do business, and y'all do business now. Oh my. I had fainted unless, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now if God ain't a wooing your heart, God ain't a nudging you to do something, don't you dare make a move. But I have trouble believing more than just a few folks feel like they're in a cave tonight. I have trouble believing more than just a few folks are walking in faith. I say that because so often I myself walk in fear. Oh my, tonight. You ought to mind Him. You ought to mind Him tonight. David was trying to say, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you." While these are praying, sing with me this old hymn unto the Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can. Us to take our fears and bring them to Him. Take your doubts and bring them to Him. Take your questions and bring them to Him. Take your problems and bring them to Him. Oh my, God help us. Thank God tonight for the preached word of God. Amen. Thank God for this preaching. And tomorrow's the life scheduled service of this meeting. I thank the Lord for what He sent. I thank the Lord for hearing and answering prayer. Weeks ago, we said, God, You just give us the meeting You want us to have, what we need. Because the truth is, you and I just don't often know. Truth is, we usually don't know. Amen. But thank God. I'm glad He does. Don't you appreciate the preaching? Amen. I want to say once again to the folks from community, we've been honored to have you with us in service. Appreciate you praying for us and praying with us and coming and worshiping with us. Amen. Other visitors that may have slipped in tonight, we're glad you're here as well. Oh my. Oh my. You pray now, some between tonight and tomorrow night, that God again would speak to our hearts and speak to our lives. I bless His good, good name. Is every heart clear? Shake hands, you go. You're at liberty. Greet our visitors. Go a-praying, come a-praying.